Blog Talk Radio.
And will I wonder why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. Michael and I will share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael, or myself, or forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, your co-hosts, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
Hi, and welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, November the 10th, 2016. And our call-in number is 516-418-5786. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. Welcome, everybody, to another opportunity to engage in this discourse on first century Aramaic forgiveness and the healing of every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And so today, I have a couple of different things. I'll start out and give a definition of a mind shifter. And then I'm going to provide a rather extended mind shifter that we're going to invite everybody to just contemplate and be with. So, mind shifter is one of the tools that we teach in this work. And it is a thought about an issue in one's life where one has negative thoughts. And it's the opportunity to surface, process, and release the negative thoughts. Now, the way a mind shifter is, the way a mind shifter is traditionally used with this work is that you take a piece of paper, you draw a line down the middle of the page, and it's a little to the left, a little right, whatever it is you write, and you write the mind shifter on the left-hand side of the page, and then you use that as a catalyst to bring up everything in you that's less than love. So let's say if I were to use just to take a short mind shifter, every relationship I've ever seen has been totally loving, nurturing, and caring. So I write that on a piece of paper. And if I was brought up in a home with a lot of conflict, then the kinds of things that might start coming up as I write that is, who are you kidding? That's just a fraud. I mean, I saw my parents fight all the time, and then it was my brother and my sister, and, oh, man, every relationship's, nurturing, no, you're crazy. So the idea is that you take time to write that mind shifter, and because the mind works through the process of resonance, the mind shifter, if you use it on a deep enough level, will show you what is in your mind that's hidden around that particular issue. And once we get to see what we've generally, what we've been brought up to hide from ourselves, then we have the opportunity to start to forgive or remove that energetic dynamic from ourselves. So that's the concept and the process of utilizing a mind shifter. And today is going to be kind of a new experiment because the show is going to be just one giant mind shifter. So, as a foundation, before we actually get into the mind shifter, I want to offer the thought that, you know, Einstein, we've repeated many times his idea that if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. Now, how can one live in an optical delusion? Because, of course, we open our eyes and we see what's going on in the world, right? No, actually, perception is a construct of the mind based on the thoughts that you hold, and the thoughts construct the world that you see. So if you've been filled with thoughts of separateness, then you know there's separate people, separate bodies, living separate from each other in a separate world. And Einstein would say, that's a product of your mind. You're living in an optical delusion. The truth is, there's only one of us. In the ancient teachings, that was referred to as the mystical body of Christ. Nothing religious about it. Just that, in essence, if we could alter the rate of vibration in which the eye receives information, we'd see that we're all hooked together, we're all connected. And everybody starts out in exactly the same place. If you've ever held a newborn child, and Jeannie and I have done some pretty deep research on this topic, having asked the question of tens and tens of thousands of people, describe the essence of that newborn you're holding, and everybody's answer is the same. It's always some variation on the theme of love. So the essential nature is that of love. Now, there are two paths that an individual cell in this oneness can go. One is where the awareness of self as love is maintained. One lives in an environment, either they have the strength of being to maintain that awareness of themselves as love, or they live in an environment that supports them and teaches them, gives them thoughts that support them experiencing themselves as love. That's one path. The other path is lost in terms of experiencing yourself as the presence of love. And that path is traveled by having a genetic structure or living in an environment that does not support us experiencing ourselves as love, and in fact supports the opposite, and gives us lots of thoughts that prove to us that we are not love, and certainly nobody else around us is. So there are divergent paths. One, where the presence of love is maintained, and secondly, where the presence of love is lost. So I'd offer that the purpose at this stage in our development as humans, for those who live in the first group, that is, recognizing themselves and others as love, task. And the task is to be the space and hold the space of the love that they are for those who have lost the experience. Now, most everybody believes that they're in the first group. Well, I'm the loving one, you're the one with the problem. But I'd offer that if you find a circumstance where you cannot hold to that love, notice your mind, based on the thoughts that resonate in you, will show you a world of pictures that will make somebody else the problem in your life. And that's all a lie. If you find a circumstance where you cannot hold to the presence of love, you've got to be honest with yourself and recognize that you're in the second group. And now, your task is different. Your task is to join the ranks of the first group. Now, I have been spending a fair bit of time in the last 48 hours on social media, looking at the woes, the dramas and traumas that are coming up for so many people, and observing. You know, it's interesting that there are those who are criticizing a certain candidate and doing it in a way that is not simply reflecting facts, but rather spiteful, hateful. And, of course, they'd be the people who say, well, we're the loving ones and they're the problem. But the comments, the the verbiage is that of hate and separation. And, you know, you've heard us say before, whenever we've talked about mind shifters, is I said, life is like a mind shifter. Life will come to you and give you the opportunity to heal everything that you need to heal. And yesterday you heard me talk about how the whole political scenario this particular election cycle has really shown America their underbelly. The discourse that has stooped into the deepest levels of hostility or fear, both before and after. And so what I'm going to invite you to do, this mind shift is too long to write in the traditional sense, so I'm just going to invite you to breathe and just be with these thoughts and watch what they stir in you. And if they stir anything in you, and I'm doing this in particular probably not so much for our present audience because everybody's been tapped into the tools, but I'm going to invite in particular everyone who knows somebody who's got disturbance over the election results to get their MP3 of this show when it's complete and share it with others. Share yesterday's show. I shared it quite a bit on Facebook yesterday, and I've gotten lots of feedback from people of like, geez, I didn't even know there was a path in all this trauma and drama that I could actually select healing, and I didn't know how to do it. And so we're going to open the space to take a look at this whole process that's been happening and how it's acted as a mind shifter. And the person who wrote this, and it actually is written anonymously, it's just written by a citizen, so I can't say who the author of it was because I don't know, but it's a letter to a particular presidential candidate. You may or may not recognize who that candidate is, but if you do, and it stirs something less than love, and certainly there's been so much of that stirred around the country. I mean, people in such grief and pain and suffering with no idea that this election has acted as a mind shifter for them and is giving them the opportunity to see the parts of themselves that need to be healed, that need to be forgiven, so that they can actually join that first group that function as the space of love no matter what's happening in the world. And that's key to bringing transformation to the whole game. So the letter starts out and says, "Dear presidential candidate, it's taken me a while to realize this and admit it, but I'm grateful to you. For the past few months, I've spent a good deal of time lamenting your campaign and the poison it has so effortlessly generated. I've watched our country imploding, polluted. Our political climate grows ever more corrosive, and wrongly assumed that you were to blame. It's only lately that I've come to understand that you haven't manufactured our current national ugliness. You simply revealed it. In other words, this particular candidate is acting as a mind shifter for the whole country and perhaps the whole world. Who can bring a space of healing to this is the question. By saying the irresponsible, mean-spirited, ignorant things you say so freely and so frequently, you've given other like-minded people license to do the same. You open up the floodgates for our corporate sewage to flow freely. People no longer conceal their vile meanness. They now revel in it, and they broadcast it and retweet it. You've made bigotry and racism socially acceptable again. And that has been a kind of twisted gift because it's allowed me to really see people, not as they pretend to be on the surface, but in the very depths of their wounded, weaponized hearts." You know, it's interesting. There was some research that was done out of the brainwashing camps in Korea back during the Korean War. And the term brainwashing was coined out of what happened in those camps. If you read through and you look at the testimony before Congress, to me at least, it became obvious that what had happened was that those who did the brainwashing had learned how to implant a relationship virus into the minds of those that were in the camps. The majority of them from America either died, went insane, or went criminal. A very few returned home intact out of those camps. And when I saw this writing and this person had written their wounded, weaponized hearts. You know, you look at how many and how often. I did a radio show with a station out in California yesterday, and they were talking about a couple who had been married about 5 years. And the question was, how do we get them communicating with each other again? And I realized that Korea, not only came this relationship virus that separated people, but it was actually the weaponizing of the heart, that the vile language, that the attitudes that had been activated and reinforced in those camps left men coming back with weaponized hearts that has, like a virus, spread the planet. And I appreciate the person who wrote this, whoever it was, for recognizing and seeing that that's what had happened. Although I don't know that they connected to the brainwashing camps in Korea back in the 50s. So if one is in that second group we talked about, their hearts have been weaponized. By and large, that's the bottom line of it. The hostility, the fear, and the willingness to turn that on someone else or on themselves. Sometimes that weaponization of the heart has only gone toward oneself. But we see so many cases of it with children, parents and children and spouses with each other, parents with her, children with their parents. And that's what has people joining the ranks of that second group. And the opportunity is that if one realizes that they are in those ranks, then there is healing and forgiveness work to be done. And that forgiveness doesn't mean I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. If my heart has been weaponized, I don't need to forgive you for that. If rage, if terror, if, you know, an acid tongue comes out of me, there's nothing to forgive you for, but there is the act of going inside myself and removing that acid tongue and that weaponization of my own internal dynamics. So once again, this person really acknowledges what a mind shifter this election cycle has been. So the letter goes on and says, over and over, as your campaign has persisted, your supporters would tell me that they like you because you speak your mind. It wasn't until recently that I've realized that you speak their minds. You've given credence to their prejudices and made those prejudices go mainstream. Thanks to the terrible ground you've broken, politicians, pastors, friends, and strangers, both in person and on social media, are now regularly outing themselves as hateful, intolerant, and malicious. And they remind me just how close they are to me, just how deep the sickness in us runs, and just how far we have to go together. You've emboldened people to be open about things they used to conceal for the sake of decorum. And though it turns my stomach, I know that this is the only way we can move forward to have that cancerous stuff exposed fully so that it can be dealt with. Our progress as a nation is predicated on authentic dialogue, no matter how brutal and disheartening that dialogue is. In other words, you've let us know what we're really dealing with here. And while it's been rightly disturbing, it's been revelatory. That's the thing about that kind of harsh light. You're forced to see everything, beauty and monstrosity equally illuminated. Now, don't get me wrong, this writer says. I think you're the least qualified, least knowledgeable presidential candidate we may have ever had participate in an election. But whether you win or lose, you've already allowed me the blessing of truth about me, about you, about other candidates, about our nation. And in the process, you've shown me that I'm not alone in resisting you and this ugly thing that you've revealed about us. You've generated an equally loud, equally passionate response to it. And this is where I find my hope these days. I find in those for whom equality isn't just a cheap buzzword, it's the most precious of hills to die on. I find in those people who refuse to be silent in the face of our impending shared regression. I find it in those willing to be bolder in defending the inherent value of all people. I find it in the growing army of those who will not tolerate hatred as a core American value. I find in those who reject violence as our default response to dissension. I find it in the ever-rising voice of people who will not let malice and bitterness represent them in the world. Today I find my hope in those who, like me, will not be complicit in allowing bigotry and intolerance to become a source of national pride, because we've seen where that lives. You've unearthed the hidden secret, and you've allowed it to go viral. You brought everything awful out into the open. Now, whichever side of the political spectrum you're on, chances are that may resonate some things for you. And if those things are less than love, then I'm going to invite you to be responsible for what moves in you. If you're in that second group that I talked about, we all start out the same as love, two paths. One is where there's support for maintaining the presence and the awareness of ourselves as love, and the other is where that is lost. If this piece shows you anything where you've lost the ability to hold and be the active presence of love, then I invite you into the next level of your work. The next level of your forgiveness work is to own what comes up and apply the tool of forgiveness to remove it energetically from your structure. The gift you will be giving the world is that when you remove it, you will open an energy pathway for everyone else on the planet who holds that energy to also be free of it. You will open an energy vortex. Yeshua talked about it 2,000 years ago as I've opened a door wide. And each person who engages in the work of healing that internal dynamic opens space for the next level of the planet to incarnate, to reincarnate as the active presence of love and function fully out of that space. And so I invite you to receive that mind shifter, to breathe into that mind shifter. And if it brings anything up for you that we can support you in healing or anything you'd just like to share, then we invite you, if you're on the phone, to simply push 1. And that will put your hand up in the phone queue. And or if you're in the chat room and you'd like to share that with us, or you're on one of those stations that we can't see, our call-in number is 516-418-5786. 516-418-5786. And so if you'd like to share what that mind shifter has brought up for you, perhaps what you see that you need to heal or what you see that you have healed or how you might be going about in your world opening a space for that shift toward love to happen for yourself and more people in your world, we invite you to share it with us. And so I'm going to just check in and see if Dr. Tim is with us and say hello and see if he has any thoughts to share. And then we'll go to the phone lines. Dr. Tim.
He is with us and he's on.
I am here.
Awesome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. Blessedly busy and experiencing a lot of the collective energy and the individual energy of people who were having various reactions to life events in this past few days. I was listening this morning to a 30-minute talk by Mary, the author of The Unwitting Mystic. And the essence of the talk is the idea that at deeper and deeper spiritual levels as we grow, we have to accept, fully accept, and embody and let it flow through us all those things we say we don't want, the pain, the fear, the sadness, etc., because that's the only way out is through. And part of the talk reminded me of what you were reading in this letter from somebody about how these hidden negative beliefs and prejudices and angers and hatreds are coming to the surface. And it's when they're at the surface and we embrace them with acceptance and this deeper energy of creation, love, that, and we're not shying away from it, that it actually can become part of the whole, experienced entirely differently, and start flowing through us rather than have energy added to it and be hidden from us. And one of the things she was talking about in the talk is that if you just look at the negatives, you'll think, oh my gosh, we're, you know, going to hell in a handbasket kind of thing. And if you look at the positives, and just across the board, how many people are doing radio shows, internet shows like this one? How many more people are studying self-actualization and total acceptance and deep love and Christ consciousness? And how much more is it getting around because of the internet? How much more common is it for people to talk about energy and resonance? And it's amazing, and she's offering these as thinking that, you know, even 20 or 30 or 50 years ago, you wouldn't be able to have conversations like this. And I remember on a number of occasions, Michael, you've talked about how when you first started doing these talks and having these seminars, people would look at you like you were crazy and walk out. And you've noticed in just the 35 or 40 years you've been doing this publicly, tremendous shift in the ability to receive this message, the ability to tune into it, the ability to apply it and understand it and apply it, has grown exponentially in just the past 5 or 10 years. So those are the brain cells that are firing for me, and I'm on board with supporting people dismantling whatever is less than love from their system, because that's all I can do in this moment. That's my contribution. The thing I can do with my focus, with my skill, with my creative energy, my ability to originate mind energy in this moment is focus on, acknowledge, and dismantle anything that's less than that loving energy from my system. So those are my thoughts for today.
Awesome. Right on. Mary has got it handled there. And, you know, I was also impressed in looking through Facebook at how many people are having the conversation about, okay, well, this is just us. Now it's our next level of work. You know, I mean, it's just like it's a normal conversation, which is pretty cool. There's still the divergent groups where there seems to be no awareness or capacity for love. It's just rage and rave and, you know, all the craziness. But so many people moving toward learning to and holding that space. That, you know, what a shift in the conversation, especially with as big a stimulus as this has been. So, you know, it was pretty awesome to me yesterday, the show where, especially Gail, where you opened up and you really just bared your soul, and that took a lot of courage And I think it opened the space for a lot of people to, I posted the show actually at several different places on Facebook, and I'd be getting responses back from people of, wow, didn't know it was even possible to move in that direction. That's like, what a new thought. And then so many other people who are just, it's like a natural conversation for them. So it's definitely the times they are changing, and I see it as a positive thing from the point of view that, okay, now we see what we need to deal with and hold the space for, so let's go do our next piece of work. And, you know, this may be just the next level of healing. And as I said yesterday, I can see where Mr. Trump perhaps is ready to open a whole new space in his heart. He certainly appeared that way in his reception speech for the position of president. It certainly was conciliatory, and actually I couldn't at any other time that I've seen him do anything apply the word sweet, but it was. And so perhaps there is a space of opening and a symbol of healing and what's possible to be held up. Enough people out of these, 265 million people, and then a global population who have awareness, who can hold this administration and this president in a space of love, and who knows what they're ready to go for. Who knows what the next level is, but certainly it will reflect what the mass population is doing. And as we can get the tools to more and more people, then more and more it's going to go in the direction of that first category where the presence of love is maintained. And along with that presence of love comes compassion and generosity and the ability to embrace the good, the bad, and the ugly, and bring healing. So that's certainly the space I'm holding. And let's check with Jeannie and see if there's anybody in the phone queue with a hand up. Jeannie?
We do have a hand up. It's area code 207. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hello, my friends. How are you?
Hey, very good, Shelly. How are you, sir?
I'm fabulous. Yeah, awesome. I'm looking for that word. I'm looking for that word, those words that you use about when we reach the curve, that everybody's doing
critical
it.
Critical mass.
I'm looking for that word for 3 days.
Critical
mass. So let's hope that and meditate and pray on maybe we've reached that critical mass where everybody is understanding the laws of living, and what we put out, we get back. So if we put out that fear that, oh, Trump is doing this, then that's what we're going to get. So let's try and change that. That's what I'm trying to encourage people to do.
Yep.
Change that.
I'm right with you.
And I would like to say happy Eternal Day to Gail, our beloved Gail.
Uh-huh.
That's all I'm going to say.
Fabulous. I didn't realize it was her Eternal Day. Happy Eternal Day, Gail. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Have a blessed
day. All right. Well, anything else happening exciting for you down in Fort Lauderdale?
Nope. I'm just working on the boat and relaxing and chilling out and taking it easy.
Cool. Fabulous.
Yeah.
Anything developing in your possible move towards Cincinnati?
I haven't heard a word.
No, I have not heard a word. Well, we'll just keep holding the space.
Yeah. If it's meant to be, it'll be.
When the time's right. Yep. Awesome.
When it's out,
sir. All right, sir. Have a blessed one. Thanks for your call.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. So, Jeannie, anybody else with a hand up? Do you have any thoughts to add to that letter, Jeannie, or the process to be done around it?
Actually, what we were talking about the other night, and I believe I've already mentioned it on the show, but I can talk about it again. And I did find that letter, and the person that wrote it, John Pavlovich, and I put the link to it in the notes for today's show so people can go to it and read it. But, I had faced, like he was writing, you know, that it had brought out the, you know, the ugliness that had been hidden and stuff. And I had seen last week in someone that I've known for over 30 years and considered a really close friend, and she just let me have it and jumped to some conclusions based on something that you actually posted on your Facebook. And it was just like, wow, you know, where did that come from? And just totally you know, took me by surprise, and I had to do some worksheets around it. And the thought that came to mind was, you know, around the Civil War, and that, you know, they classified that war as brothers against brothers, you know, is kind of what it was called, and so much division among the country, and that they were willing to kill each other. And it was like, I don't remember the number, but it was well over 620,000 people that died during that Civil War. And there weren't that many people in the United States at that time. It was something like 2 or 3% of the whole population of the country died over disagreements. And part of it was political, part of it was the slavery. But, you know, it was just like differences of opinions, and they're willing to kill each other over it. And it was crazy. But that's what came to my mind when this supposed friend just like was ready to condemn me to hell for thinking differently, and it wasn't even me. And it was like, come on, you know me better than you know, what's this judgment? And so anyway, it gave me definite opportunity to look through, you know, people aren't all what they say they are. And so it's definitely brought out some of the ugly. I agree with that. And I am right with Shelley, looking for that time when, you know, maybe this is the first step for enlightenment, that everybody begins to, and hopefully with Thanksgiving just around the corner, to look at what they're really thankful for. And actually right after the conversation that the lady had sent to me with all the accusations, I put out on my Facebook, you know, what I am thankful for. And things that a lot of times we take for granted, and to focus on that instead of focusing on the negative, help move the whole atmosphere to a different space. And we do have another caller. I hear you talking from the other room, but you're not coming through the phone.
You're challenged.
Yeah.
I did, well, when you brought up that the Civil War, I just did a quick check, and Civil War facts, what reflects is that in all wars that the United States has been involved in 200 years, there have been approximately 1,264,000 men die, and 620,000, almost half of them, were in the Civil War. It wasn't until Vietnam that the deaths from American wars eclipsed the Civil War. And you think about how crazy that is. And of course, when you realize, you know, genes, genetics, that these are energetic patterns within our structure that need to come out. And certainly you can see, you know, the reflections of it in the conversations that are going on today in the world. So it's all just what's up for healing, and the opportunity to move through those things is monumental, absolutely monumental. So we're here to hold the space and to make it a safe space for all of that to surface. You know, one of the reasons why people keep things hidden from themselves is, I think, because they didn't feel safe when it was happening to deal with it. And so creating a safe space, this conversation is a safe space and a safe community to bring forward whatever needs to be looked at, whatever needs to move. And so we're certainly here to support that happening, to give voice to it, and to give support in a space for healing. Everything that is in our genes that is unlike love, and certainly the Civil War is rooted in, you know, the whole American psyche. And you know, a couple of weeks ago in some of the conversation, that's not that long ago, 10 days ago maybe, the conversation that was so, in the political rhetoric, was so intense that it's like it struck me that there could actually be an actual civil war over this. And, you know, to recognize the falsity of the voices for violence is such an important task for each individual to do, and to recognize just who we are as human beings as the presence of love becomes our primary task at this point. So let's go ahead and check in with our callers, Jean.
Okay, it's area code 201. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hi, this is Jackie. I'm thankful that I'm breathing, and even though things are not settled, I'm still thankful. We are already in a civil war. It just doesn't seem the same way because it's like they haven't verbalized it out in the open. They've camouflaged it with the war on drugs, the war on education, the war on terror. They've camouflaged it. They've separated us by our belief systems. They separated us by our communities. And when I say they, I'm talking about the powers that be. They've used race in such a way that it's disturbing to me, and it's also an insult to most Americans' intelligence. Because they've crowded
and course,
used race and class to create division.
Yeah, and of course we have to buy into that for any of that to become real. I mean, somebody can say it out there on whatever level of power they've got, but if we as individuals become conscious, we can throw off that kind of tyranny and we can step into a different space with each other, and that space of embracing and connecting and realizing, coming from the truth that Einstein gave us, that you know, the fact is that we are physiologically one creature, one being. And so certainly we're here to actualize the truth of who we are and recognize the insanity that's been perpetrated through words. You know, words are such a big key in the process. You're right on with that one.
And it's class warfare. And that's the part that really gets to me, because it's class warfare and it's economic. And whether people realize it or not, we're all on the same playing field, with the exception of the powers that be. And they're manipulating people to the point where it almost seems like everyone is walking around like just in despair and hopeless, unless you are in that class that have the ability to circumvent some of this. I live in a community
my offering there would be, I guarantee you, if you were to walk into the house of someone that you would consider to be them, that has the trillions in the bank or what have you, the billions, the millions, and the fancy houses, I guarantee you won't find much happiness in most of them.
No, they're not.
No, they're
they
no
can't
different.
Be.
They're all in the same. Everybody's in the same boat in that regard. If they don't have the tools of forgiveness to remove the hostility and fear, then most people fall into that trap, and it doesn't matter what they've got or what their political position is, because if one had, truly had, that wholeness and that connectedness, they wouldn't be playing the game from the position of we need to divide and conquer. It would be a different game.
And see, it's so unfortunate because so many lives have to be lost. So many communities have to be destroyed. So many families have to just be, you know, affected by all of this negativity before everybody start waking up and seeing that there's a bigger thing going on.
Yep.
I mean, like,
so
I was completely disgusted. I was completely disgusted with this whole election process from all angles. And I know that the end story is not even there yet, you know?
Right,
and it's so
right.
sad because you got families, you got kids that are being destroyed by all of this. I mean, really,
well,
do they really want to erase so many people from the face of the planet?
Well, let's back up a little bit and move to a position of a little more responsibility, because I'd offer that, you know, one of the key principles of this work is that denial is speaking or thinking that something outside of us is causing something inside of us. And you know, we were talking about mind shifters, and so my offering to you would be that your disgust is not about the political process or what happened. Your disgust is one of the things that's in you that's up for forgiveness, for healing. And as you forgive and heal that, then you create a different space around something like the political process.
Hold on a second. The whole point of using the tools is that each individual can move to a place of responsibility and recognize the quality of energy that they are adding to the conversation. If I bring disgust or hostility or fear or rage to the conversation, then the conversation is going to tend to become more disgusting, more rageful, more hostile. If, however, I choose to bring the presence of being, of love to the party, then the conversation at the party is going to tend to start to move toward love. But when I put the power outside of me, that it's the party that causes the conversation, then I give up my power and I end up feeling powerless. The whole idea of these tools is to recognize that whatever is moving in me is literally an energy that I am spraying on and contributing to whatever is happening. And when I take responsibility for changing that and bringing it back, and I may have to do this 100 times a minute on occasion when things are really moving, then when I am committed to and only bring literally the active presence of love. You know, I used to keynote at a conference called Global Sciences several decades ago, and there was a gentleman named Marcel Vogel who came to the conference. And he had a thing called a Delaware camera. And with this camera, Marcel could take a picture of the high-energy waves that leave the mind when we think a thought. If I'm in hostility or fear, the high-energy waves leaving me that I am literally energetically spraying on the people around me are the toxins of hostility and fear, the acids of hostility and fear. When I take responsibility and shift that, and I choose instead to anchor my field in love, then I'm literally, energetically spraying the energy of love on people. And when I do, they change. And that's the power of the forgiveness process. And, you know, we invite people to go to our website, whyagain.org. Top left-hand corner, the first two words on the page are start here, click that, and it'll walk people through the whole process of how do I empty myself of disgust or rage or fear or sadness or grief or pain or sorrow.
Okay.
And as I do that, then I make a different contribution to every party that I go to. And when enough of us go to any party, I don't care. You know, I've said many times over the years, I would love to get an invitation to take the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop on first century Aramaic forgiveness into Satan's den and teach it there. Because what would happen is a shift would take place. And we need to get out of the hypnosis of thinking it's outside of us and recognize that at every moment I can always stop and say, this clenching of the fist is about me. This is mine. I can change it and contribute a different energy to the conversation. When we hit a critical mass of people who do that, the conversation has to change.
Okay. And I take responsibility for my healing. I take responsibility for my pain. And
you got my support. Nice catch.
I take responsibility for my next steps in pursuing this healing for mind, body, and spirit, and responsibility for my words, even when they're in error. I think I was taking too much responsibility that wasn't mine, and I began to internalize all of it.
Richard Bach in his book Illusions says a great way of avoiding responsibilities to see I've got responsibilities. You know, to avoid the real responsibility, we keep ourselves distracted out there. So nice shift. That's exactly what we need to do, is to move to that level of responsibility for our own energy, what's going on inside of us, and to learn how to collapse it when it's not based in the truth of who we are. And then our shared energetic truth. You know, we did a course, actually we started a program in a kindergarten through grade 8 school down in South Florida about 25 years ago, still going on, and the first lesson we took into the kindergarten classroom was, when I choose love, it wakes up the love in everyone. When I energetically choose to bring love present, I set up a field. And every other person is made of that same stuff. If they've totally forgotten and totally lost it, the most important thing they can have is have somebody who stands there and reminds them by demonstrating it and by giving them an energetic platform to step up on. To me, that's what we need to do with this political process, is enough people create an energetic platform to step up on. And everybody, every behavior on the planet is about getting to that platform. It's just been trained into us that hostility and fear is somehow the way to get to love, which, of course, is ludicrous.
Okay.
So I join you in holding space for that healing.
I do work in a space where, and I live in a space where I have a lot of energy vampires around me. And I don't know how, but it happens. I'm sorry if you hear the traffic behind me. I don't know how, but it happens at times where I could feel it being sucked out of me, or it's turning my energy inside out, upside down. And I really have to stop for a moment while I'm doing what I'm doing to collect myself, because it's like I would just be scattered. And sometimes I'm conscious of it, and oftentimes I'm not until after I feel it.
Right. So there's an old saying that says, if they keep getting your goat, get rid of your goat. People can only vampire energies that you have in resonance with them. If it's based in love, there's an unlimited supply, and you can't give more away than will flow into you, because it doesn't come from you, it flows through you. But if there are literal mind structures, mind energy structures based in hostility or fear, then anyone who has a matching frequency can resonate and lock into that and seem to take over. But once I get rid of what people can lock into that's based in hostility or fear, there's nowhere for them to lock on. The only thing left is the active presence of love. And that's a big level of responsibility, but ultimately that's where we need to go. And that's what the core tool that we teach of forgiveness is about. And literally, in order to be that level of space that we're talking about, means that I need to go in and clean up all the generations in me. That I need to open everything in my genes that people based in hostility or fear could attach to or could resonate and move in me. And as it moves in me, when I recognize, oh, this isn't part of my true nature, I'll forgive this. This isn't part of my true nature, I'll forgive that. And, you know, the process when one opens to it can become extremely intense. In fact, if you go back and you read the book of Job, Job is just a story of a healing process. What happens to someone when they're ready to open up and clean up the generations? And at one point, Job says to God, God, please, I need an intermission. And you can tell how intense his process has become in his healing when he says, just give me time to swallow my saliva. That's a pretty intense process. And if you choose, if any one of us chooses to take on what's in our genes. I mean, just think about that one thing, the Civil War, and all the things that led to it, all the things that went on. Just take that and think about the monumental chunk of energy that needs to be removed from the borders of the United States of America and the genetics of 265 million people. Just think of what the cloud of energy is going to be like, of hostility and fear still carried around in the genes that removes that. You know, there's a movie out there called The Hatfields and McCoys. And these two guys were Civil War buddies. They saved each other's lives. And yet over, I don't even remember over what, something silly, they went to war. And they killed each other for decades, the family members. And it was just in, if I remember correctly, I believe it was in 2010. And this guy goes back to the Civil War. In 2010, the two families came together in a reunion and signed a peace treaty. From the Civil War, two families still killing each other. 2010, they finally signed a peace treaty. It's like,
what's it time for us to make peace with in our genes and from our generations? And that's the opportunity I see in all of this for people to, if they'll grab hold of the tools, the underbelly's been opened. It's kind of hard to hide from. Are we willing to take the level of responsibility that you're languaging now and move toward that? If we do, then the game is assured to be a win.
I'm going to win because I do not want to repeat this lifetime again.
Cool. Well, I join with you in living.
I want to be successful in this lesson this time around because I have asked that question ever since I was a child. Why is this happening to me? Really.
I really have asked that question.
And, I don't understand everything, but that's how it feels. Like, that's the question that I ask all the time. Like, why am I going through this?
Well,
what am I doing to contribute to this? Because it's too painful, and I don't like it. It's unsettling.
Yeah. Well, you've got a team right here to support you in healing it. And though my book is out of print, you know, you can jump on Amazon and I've bought a few copies myself because I haven't had it for a couple of years, but you can order them. Sometimes they're, you know, a buck to order my book, or you can go to the website and you can download it free. Or if you go to our website and in the center of the page at the top of whyagain.org, there's a button to sign up for the mailing list. If you sign up for the mailing list, we'll send you a free MP3 of the latest version. It's a newer version than the one that that's in print of the book free. So there are many ways to take a hold of it. And as you develop the brain cells to take your process to the next level, and I really get energetically you're ready to go for it, then just know that we're here to support you. And we're delighted and honored to have the opportunity to do that.
Could you repeat the website again? Is it Y?
Yeah, sure. WHYAGAIN.org. Y again.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I got you now.
All right. Fabulous. Well, thank you for the conversation. I'm enthused at hearing from you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I really do.
All right. Take care. Blessings. Bye-bye.
You too.
All right. Well, down to the last few seconds, so I'm just going to say to everybody, we appreciate you deeply. We hold the space for the massive exodus of hostility and fear-based energy that is happening from this planet right now and from this country, that it opens a beacon of light for the world on a whole new level. And we invite you to create the best year yet of your eternal life because it's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, as we present the Aramaic Internal Process of Forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.